My name's Nicholas. Whilst you're listening to Mornings, I've got the crew from Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew. It's Tom, Robbie, and Jordan in the studio with me. They've got the show After Me. It kicks off at midday. Hey, boys.
Hello.
How
g'day,
you
g'day.
How are you this morning?
Very excited, very festive. It's the 25th of July, Christmas in July.
Oh, yep. What do you do to celebrate Christmas in July?
Well, we're going to sing a little song for you right now that we prepared.
Can you give me a taste?
I brought my guitar in. Guys, we're all excited for this, aren't we? Jordan especially is. Okay, so one, two, three.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
That's
good,
like five
tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Oh, wonderful.
Who's wrong on those lyrics there? Does it go, good tidings for Christmas to you and your kin?
No, good tidings for Christmas.
No, good tidings we bring to you and your kin.
Yeah, that wasn't even the part that I was trying to, like,
so you got
taste
the first
of the
rhythm,
but yep. But the moving on to the second part. Okay, does it just go straight back into, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, or does it say, good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year? That's the first one.
Good tidings we bring to you and your kin.
Kin. No, I'm sure it was king.
Kin, like your family. You're fine now.
All right, send us a text if you know this song. 0409-945-945.
I'm sure we could just Google it in the brain.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's under the... It's by Miscellaneous, so I think it's... You don't really need to ask that question when a song is Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous?
It's by Miscellaneous.
A terribly famous producer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done Happy Birthday.
He's been alive for centuries.
Actually, I don't think he can do Happy Birthday. That
is owned by Disney.
That's carefully owned, yeah. You have to sing it in German if you're going to sing it at all.
Really? Now, that is a disgrace, isn't it? Can we get some can we get some outrage? Yeah, can we sing it?
Can we sing that right
All right,
now?
Let's sing it. Happy...
No. Go to the song.
Come on, guys. We don't have that much money.
No.
Yeah, we can't.
So, is your show going to be more songs for an hour?
No, we've got a few songs. We've got some actually fantastic tunes coming up.
And sing-alongs.
No more sing-alongs.
Just then.
But hey. we're talking spitting in faces. We're talking a little bit Christmas in July. We're talking Splendor in the Grass.
When do you think it's appropriate? When do you think that you've got the court to spit in someone's face? There's got to be a point where it feels like you're allowed to punch someone before you're allowed to spit on them. And if you do that, everyone's like, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
Like, at that point.
I remember there was a little politics moment where someone spat on Mike Baird, was it? Or Mike Baird's assistant's assistant? Mm.
That's exactly
right.
Robbie
was saying it. Yeah.
But, I think, you know, forcefully, and aggressively covering someone else in your bodily fluids, it's a violation.
And yeah, it seems worse than punching.
To say the least, yeah.
I would say that, provided that it's not a king hit or a cowie.
A cowie, as it's called.
Is that how it's been?
Has anyone ever said a cowie before?
Did you coin that, Nicholas?
I'm trying to popularize the term.
Yeah,
not original.
I need a little sting to play after every one of my coinages.
Now, I like that one. Jordan had one earlier that we have since found to be incorrect, but I did really enjoy it. He thought it was
called cameling someone if you spin on him.
He said it so confidently as well.
Because I swear I've been like at a friend's house that enjoys NRL way more than I have, right? And then someone got spit and they were like, well, I cameled him, what the hell? As a response.
We've since learned that it's actually when you are reaching with your tongue to get the straw from a drink. And the sentence was, oh, that's weird, that girl's cameling.
Oh.
No longer. Come on, take it to the spit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so much better.
All right, so send us a text. The thing is, when you mention this, I got a text about 40 minutes ago mentioning the use of spitting. I think maybe, did you publicize this kind of element of your show somewhere else?
I did.
Someone's texting me early.
Yeah, I posted saying text in with...
Well, the one text I got was exceptionally graphic.
Oh.
You guys will need to dig in, put a song on, brainstorm how to censor it for Sydney, and then come back on the microphone.
You think it's worth putting out there?
I think that it is more offensive than spitting itself.
Excellent.
And
so good to be in the studio with a veteran of radio, because we would have just read that out.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take a song.
And welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
On FBI Radio 94.5 FM. Hello, I'm Robbie Armfield, and with me are Tom Montefiore.
Hello.
And Jordan Shanks.
Hello.
Merry Christmas in July, everybody. We've just had a little festive opener there. But what happened earlier was we were coming into the studio, right? We were walking past a person that I assumed Tom knew. And this is a little segment that we like to call Fair Enough, okay? So I was walking past. This person gives Tom a little captain's salute, all right? He gives a little, what is that called?
Yeah, Two fingers straight off the palm of the forehead. Yeah. And quite official, though, like a kind of, like, you know, hello, like, to me. I look back at him.
Do you think he had military training, or was he a cool guy from the 70s?
He could have, but it's hard to know. It's early in the morning. Airport. We get out of the car. We're walking past this guy. I'm looking at him. I look at him for a little bit too long, I think. And he notices that I'm looking at him, so he salutes me. And then I nod back at him, just kind of like, yep, hi. I nod, smile, and we keep walking past.
So you gave him a country citizen, thanks for protecting us. Good for your service, mate.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Yep. Now, the fact is, though, like, that it's, I don't know if it's of any consequence, but he was in a wheelchair, okay? Yep. Now, is that offensive?
What a twist.
Yeah. So now, is that offense? It seems as if you're like, you're giving him the nod as if he's, why didn't you salute back? I don't know why. You should have saluted back, I think.
Well, it's a captain's salute. And if a captain is saluted, you don't salute back.
You're assuming a higher
I'm
level.
I'm the captain.
Yes. Yeah. You're assuming the captain's role. And I don't know if that's right. Is that fair enough? Jordan, what do you reckon?
If you get saluted at, you don't have to salute back, I don't think.
He was in a wheelchair.
No, but all right. No, he was having a go at me.
It's a bit of a showstopper argument. Yeah, really.
I think it's just that thing where it must be annoying, I think, if you are, you know, if you're in a wheelchair or have some kind of thing which isn't as common as everyone else around you, when, because more people are going to obviously look in your way, right? So I think it's the thing where
hence you were staring a little too long.
Yeah. Yep. Because he's wearing a suit, he's in Redfern, he's in a wheelchair. I was just like, you know, you're going to look at that kind of thing a little bit longer, maybe. I was doing that. He then salutes at me, saying like, yeah, mate, I see you're looking. And then I nod friendly back at him.
And I assumed...
That's quite jeery, Ben.
I assumed they knew each other.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, is he your mate?
I think he would have told you about that guy if he was your mate, right?
This guy was in his 50s as well.
Yeah, like I was
just
saying...
It's a very odd friend for you to have, Tom.
Yeah, and he goes like, well, you should have saluted back, or you should have said something. And I said, well, wouldn't it be stranger if I did know him? And all I did was just nod like that after he saluted at me. Like, if I knew him, I would have said something.
I guess.
So look, where are we? Where are we in terms of the standpoint? You're saying that what he did was reprehensible.
I think he shouldn't have assumed the higher ground by way of a nod. I think he should have respected him and salute back.
Well, I'm always under the impression a captain's salute is a one-way street. You salute the captain.
Because from my understanding, the nod sort of inclines that he goes, I see you looking at me, and then you go, yeah, I was looking at you. What are you going to do about it?
Well, it could have been like that, or it could have just been like, hey, good morning, mate, like a salute, and I just nodded back and smiled.
Did the fact he was...
Was it outside of a pub? No, it was outside the International Film School. So, I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Yeah, there's no real... There's nothing really bad to that.
No.
Pubs make it feel like it's got more of a military-inclined vibe to it. Mm. International Film School makes it look like they're making an ad to give off the general ambience that it has something to do with military, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It never would it? It's just like Saul getting an ad for military service.
We've got a text here. The number, if you'd like to get in touch, is 0409-945-945. It's fair enough.
Thank you. Is that good for me? Or
I think they're saying it's fair enough you gave the nod, I think.
Yeah. It's just a greeting. You don't have to salute. You don't have to match greetings. I hate that, how people will be like, oh, I'm a high-fiving kind of guy. Or okay. I'm a, you know, I do a special handshake. No matter who I'm with, it's going to be this elaborate handshake, and you have to know what it is.
Tom, I'm glad you brought this up, actually. High fives, right? Perfect example. Somebody goes in for a high five. You're not going to go, captain, salute, my friend. Or you're not going to nod. You're going to go in. Look, let's do it now. We'll test it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just did a high five there. So you come back.
Yeah, but...
Captain salute, same thing.
But a high five can only be achieved if you're both participating. So, you know, I think greetings are... greetings are a similar thing. We're two parties are participating in
that
a greeting.
That annoys me. I hate that. Like, yeah, I have a friend that...
You hate
greetings
with people.
No, it's just a specific... I have a friend that does that every time where it's like this specific kind of like shake, pull back, knuckle, and then kind of like fly your hands.
They're always a douchebag, aren't they? There's no one cool ever does that.
Well,
yeah, no one truly cool.
It becomes okay once you get used to it.
Real players.
I feel like if you have that friend that you just do it all the time with, it becomes like this thing where you're like, yeah, I know how I'm going to say hi to this guy because... that's what we do. But there's something wrong, I think, with him. He decided that's how we're going to be saying hello. I think there's something to that where it's, you know, with the salute and the nod,
we
both chose. Yeah. It's a fair exchange, the salute and the nod. We both decided what we wanted.
It is like bartering, though. Somebody is getting the raw deal if you decide to go with different hand gestures. Yeah. Somebody is being more polite. Someone's being less polite. Someone's missing out, surely. It's like when you trade a pig for 10 bales of hay.
Yeah.
Not a great deal. Yeah. It is better to have some form of currency. It'd probably be better if we just stuck to the regular handshake, because that is the... that's the American dollar of
the gold standard.
Yeah, of the hand world.
If you go in for like a knuckle, it's kind of arrogant. You know, you're assuming like, oh, I'm above the handshake. You're going to do the knuckle. You don't have a choice because I'm doing it first at you. You know?
Okay, look, I think there are a variety of responses here to this. But what we really would like to know is the spitting stuff. So if you've ever spit in somebody's face and you think it's justified, could be accidental, whatever, text in. The number's 0409-945-945. We're going to go to a song now. It's called Goodbye. Sorry.
Wait, so those people just texted in for nothing?
What?
Yeah, they did.
Okie dokie, you're with your boys on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song, Goodbye Darling. It was a cover by MGMT of an Alan Vega song, the fantastic Suicide member that died recently. So goodbye to him, and thanks for all the music, and also goodbye to Harambe and Jesus. This is Xmas in July on FBI Radio. We've got it with us in the studio, Sam, who has a... fantastic story about spitting in people's faces.
We don't know the full text of it. All we know is that it has Questacom spit and gyroscope in it. It has to be.
Yeah.
Well, at Questacon, there's this hallway you can walk through, and it's kind of like this mirror that turns, and so it's meant to make the bridge look like it's wobbling.
Yeah.
And my friend Harry, when we were in year six, spat on the mirror, and we watched it like just... go down the mirror, like, hoping that the glob of spit would just come up and fall on someone in the hallway, and eventually it did. So, spit has cohesive properties. That's the moral of that story.
And it hit its mark.
For science. Yeah, yeah, great.
Yeah, that's, like, a good way to waste your day at Questacon is to... yeah, it actually was scientific.
Yeah, it took a solid 40 minutes.
To watch the spit.
I don't know. Time
moves differently. You guys did at Questacon, watch that.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
waited for it to hit.
When you grow up in Canberra, there's not much else to do.
Than Questacon. Yeah, we went there not too long ago, actually. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, you had the time of your life.
Yeah, Jordan wouldn't do the free fall.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Can you believe that? Can you believe
so you were
that?
Just sitting there in the orange jumpsuit getting teary.
And there was a 12-year-old behind me going, can you hurry up?
He was eight, mate. He was like eight. It was embarrassing. and me and Tom went on it like so many times. So, like, we're really brave, me and Tom.
And
we're
while
so
I was brave. Slowly walking down, you guys would have gone twice in that same time period going, yay, yay. And then me walking up to the woman and she going, you couldn't go? And I go, no. And she goes, that's all right.
Just take off your outfit, please.
I was 25. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been on that, Samantha?
Oh, I have many, many times.
Yeah, that's the best bit about that one, isn't it?
What, Questacon?
Yeah.
Do you get used to the feeling of zero G at this point? Do you feel like you would have a better chance if the Mir space station blew up and you were outside and you had to jump into the US space station in that split perfect second?
You know what? I haven't been there for a decade, but I've got a lot of self-faith. So, for sure.
Yeah, you think as you get older, it gets easier, but it doesn't.
It's like,
well, clearly.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, it doesn't. So what about you, Robbie, with spitting? Have you ever spat in anyone's face?
Not. Oh, okay. Goodbye, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Sorry, I was just
trying to walk off out of that very professionally.
Well,
oh, we just ruined that effect.
Did we? Okay, sorry. Thanks so much for being in
she's
here.
She's busy.
She's got stuff to do. Sorry. All right, thanks, Sam. Have I ever spit? Well, I haven't spit in anybody's face, really. We were at Wet n' Wild one time. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Monty? And there was a little game which I remember. It was quite disgusting. In the line for some of these rides, we would just... You say it.
Well, I won't be a part of this.
But this was something.
Okay, so Robbie thought it would be funny
Friend Adam started this. Okay.
Okay, so it's like a thing at these theme parks, like famously at water parks. There's a thing of like, oh, do you reckon there's piss in the water? Like, do you think people would be in the water?
What the hell?
Oh, you don't spin.
What are you talking? No.
All right.
We're talking about urine. We're talking about spit here.
Okay, but that's great. But let's go on to the urine story now that you've started.
All right, there's water everywhere.
Oh, for goodness sake.
There's water everywhere, right? So everyone's like in these lines just like soaking wet. And Robbie and his friend thought it would be funny to...
Okay, no.
I'm interjecting, Robbie. Let Tom finish his story.
I'm not having this BS be broadcast. You were totally involved in everything you're saying.
I'm talking about the spitting. So, I'm saying that... All right. So, I didn't do it. But,
yes,
all right. A friend of ours...
Yes, you did. He's talking absolute rubbish, this guy. He was...
God, this radio segment's a shambles. Talk about the urine. So, talk about the pee.
So, all right. A friend of ours thought it would be funny to just like, because it's just a given that it seems as though like everyone pees in these like pools, like in that it would be funny to just be like in the line, just like pee in the line. Just like standing there, just like
how many evil soldiers always just go in the stream. They don't even go behind a tree. There's no shape about it.
Yeah, where it's just, yeah, like looking back on it is one of the most like disgusting like experiences of my life.
This,
but like,
it is.
Wait, so this actually happened? It wasn't just a wouldn't it be funny if, and then you took it one step forward. And went, all right, well, let's take Questacom to Wet and Wild. Yeah. What if?
Yeah, it actually happened. It
was, we were very young, and it was.
I doubt you were that young. You guys knew each other in high school. That's where you met. So you were 15 or 16, weren't you?
Yeah, maybe older.
Try 21. Try legal. So there was some spitting.
No way. Okay, hang on. Okay. Sorry, can we just get this on the record for certain?
Right.
Yeah.
So legal age in America, 21. Oh, this is where you decided to do this.
No, we're 18.
I would say less. I don't know if that was the case.
The point is, you could vote. You could have a decision on this nation's direction, and you were doing that.
Our friend Adam decided to spit on us in the line as well. That's the spitting aspect of it.
That was it. So Robbie would be in front of the line, waiting to go on the one where the floor falls beneath you and you plummet away. And
just all of them.
Just any ride.
Every single ride, he would just spit on my back.
I just thought it'd be funny to like just spit on your back because everyone's so wet. So it's just more moisture, right? That was his kind of justification of it. But other people in the line must have been so sickened by our antics. It was just, yeah.
It was deplorable. It was absolutely deplorable. Never doing that again. Can we?
What is wrong with you people?
I wasn't doing
it. Proper garbage coming from this guy's mouth.
How involved was he, Robbie? You set the record straight.
Exactly. We were all in on this.
No.
It sounds like Adam has a lot to answer for in this, though. With his answer being spitting on your back in every ride, saying it's just moisture, it'll wash off with the chlorine.
Yeah. I wasn't spitting on anyone's back. But anyway, so that's one example where he thought it was okay to spit.
Yeah, let's move on from that.
So what times do you think it's justifiable to spit on someone is what we're after.
Yeah, so that's
usually out of anger.
Example. Yeah. I mean, both of the texts that we've received on this are not out of anger, and they are way too graphic for us to read. We've been debating how to get these on air without saying what's in the context of it, but it'll completely destroy it. What we're looking for is moments in your life where you feel like someone has done something so disgraceful to dishonor you that you felt it's... you feel justified in spitting on them, or maybe in a fight context or something like that, going like, make my day, punk.
Yeah, well, the other example was the Keep Sydney Open one, where that we spoke about very briefly before, where it seems as though you're so sure of yourself that you can just, like, spit in a protest scenario, that you could spit on someone, like, in the opposition's face. You're so disgusted by what they're doing. And in this example, a girl spat on someone's face, and then all her supporters just immediately turned on her and were just like, hey, that's not at all okay to do that. So,
but you'd have to imagine, this is what we're saying about spit. It seems to be the final frontier of human decency. I mean, for protesters in a heated environment to stop what they're doing, and saloon bar silence followed with spitting.
Yeah.
Not an animal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's like an example of... the exact same thing happened to me. I remember when I was in primary school and we were in AFL after school, a kid was trying to get me to eat grass. He was the big muscle, the Jeremy from Hey Arnold of the group, had me down and was saying, eat grass, you're a cow, moo. And so I just spat in his face and everybody just stopped immediately. Like, again, saying, get off him, get off him. And then I go, pff, and they're like, make him eat the grass! Make him eat the grass!
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that, man. And spit in someone's face.
I really... What the hell is this? I had no other recourse. And again, yeah, he just got up and he was like, I was just joking. He wasn't joking.
Yeah, well.
He wanted me to be a cow. Showed him I'm a camel. I'm just a bit late. Anyway, see you.
Aloha. The song there, Degraded. The band, Preoccupations. Your boys, Jordan, Tom and Robbie on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. Kapow. Okay. We've got a couple of texts here. The number 0409-945-945 in relation to spitting in other people's faces. Is it justified? Somebody said, I was out on the town and caught someone spiking my girl's drink. A fight ensued and at the end of it, I spat on his face when he was on the ground. 100% justified. Not sure if that percentage is correct. What do you guys?
Yeah, high 90s for sure. But I do really like... I think he's found a loophole in spitting. Definitely after you vanquished a foe, really yeah. knocked him out
post fight. Yeah, such like a final, like I beat you, I can spit on you.
The rules reverse, don't they? Yeah, you can't kick him while he's down, but you can sure as hell spit on him.
Yeah. Okay, so Tom, you've been on a little bit of a getaway, haven't you? Where did you go again?
A bit of R&R. I drove around Tasmania. Love it. I love the place.
Oh my god, magic! Like, not nice to look at.
Don't get me started.
I think we might
talk about it.
Do you know what? I think we are going
to
talk about it then.
Yeah, so I went to Port Arthur and I did the ghost tour, which I've done two times prior. So I love it. I love Port Arthur. It's an old colony. It's a beautiful place. But yeah, amazing yarns. They have
amazing yarns.
I think something I've really...
Can you please put that up as like a Google review?
Amazing yarns.
Yes.
Well, that was one thing actually, because before we started the ghost tour, there's one of those books which has all like kind of customer feedback, you know, where people said, oh, we had Tammy as our ghost tour woman. So scary. It was such a fun experience.
Someone's
Thank
always called
so
Tammy at a tour, aren't they?
Yeah. I was reading through the whole thing because I had heaps of time. I read through like so many of these reviews and everyone was raving about Tammy and Tim. And I was like, oh, I really hope we get Tim or Tammy. That would be great.
Yeah.
And
all fives.
And then we ended up with...
I'll just imagine the rest of them are all fives.
Yeah. Because then we got Andrew and I was like, oh, not Andrew. Because I've looked at his reviews and they're not nearly as good as Tammy or Tim.
Was he a 3-star man?
He wasn't... Yeah, he was definitely the worst out of... I couldn't... the worst ghost tour person I've ever had. But
wow, the best Western hotel of ghost tour.
Yeah, it was. It was like very disappointing.
This is... Wow, okay.
But...
You're okay to slander this guy's name.
Andrew.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Screw Andrew.
But I'll say something about Alex, who was the tour guide I had the next day during the day. He was something else. He was really good. And he had this amazing story, right, about this convict that was in... He was a boxer, and he was sent to the jail. And when he was... All right, yeah. Okay, yeah. So, anyway, So, this is what he actually claims happened. You guys will love it because it's, like, got some supernatural element to it.
Which means you hate it.
Which means I hate it, yeah. But
thanks for giving us... This is what Christmas in July is all about. That sharing spirit.
Yeah, I'm giving you guys a gift. So, yeah, this guy, massive man, like a 6'5" kind of dude. He's a boxer in England. He gets in a lot of trouble for stealing, gets sent to Port Arthur. He's such, like, a nuisance on the island. Like, he escapes, goes and he, like, kills someone's baby. Like, he's a monster. He gets sent to the Island of the Dead, which is this island out there where they bury all the convicts, everyone. So there's, like, 1,100 dead people buried on this tiny little island.
This is grim.
He gets sent to this island to be the grave digger, which he works at because he just can't stay on the main island because he's too dangerous. So he lives amongst dead people.
Hang on. So he's so much of a badass that he sort of breaks the Matrix like that runner in the Animatrix. Because he's too much of a convict that he's no longer a convict.
Yeah,
he's been given a job as a grave digger.
Yeah, so he becomes the grave... It gets basically just like that, where he's this grave digger there. And one night, he just freaks out. He starts a fire on the Island of the Dead and is like, get me off this island, get me off this island. Like, he's been doing the job for years. The commandant person from the prison comes over and he's like, what do you want, mate? Like, what's happened? And he goes, I've been visited by the devil. He's telling me I'm doing a good job. He left that day, never would return. He never went back for any of his belongings or anything. He just would never go back to the island ever again. And then he just became... He lived this really old life. Like, he got, like, gangrenous legs. Like, he had to get his, like, legs were just, like... fully messed up, and then he ended up being this old man that was a freed man, and he'd just go around and like threaten people for money as this like really elderly man, and then the people that were getting robbed would go to the police and be like, hey, can you do something, this 80 year old is like robbing me, and they're like, oh no, we don't want to deal with him, just like let him, just give him your money.
What?
And then he died like an old man.
If I were to review that on Google reviews, I'd write, now that's a yarn.
Yeah, how much of a yarn is that? Anyway, yeah, that's amazing guy.
The true definition. I'm so glad that you've revived this archaic word.
Yarn.
No one uses the word yarn. It's always, have I got a story for you?
Yeah.
No, let's have a little bit of sophistication in our palate.
We spin yarns.
Yeah. Now, let's be real. Did any, be honest, were you scared at any point during this ghost tour?
So there's one point where we got taken into the insane asylum where they're telling us about this. They have this chamber there, which is one of those isolation chambers where if you're really bad, they would lock you away for like 30 days in this like completely dark room that was like noiseless. You couldn't see a thing.
Did it have a nickname like the tank?
Something like that, yeah. Like where, I can't remember what it was called, but it was just, yeah, you go insane from being in there. We were getting told the ghost stories by the tour guide, and he's talking to us, and we're in this, like, this room where there's, like, these four, like, of these, like, isolation chamber doors on all the corners of the rooms, and one of the doors started, like, creaking open, and then, like, slammed, like, really hard, again, like, hard and closed itself, and the tour guide was just, like, didn't really know what was going on, and he just, like, kept telling the stories, and it kept opening and slamming. Well, like, it's, like, the middle of the night, and all the people on the tour are like kind of like jumping up every time the door was slamming. And I was thinking, like, why isn't he doing something? Like, why? Like, isn't this a thing he should be pointing our attention to? And the people next to us are like, they're going, are you seeing this? Seeing this door slamming?
Maybe we should stop the story there, right? I think that's getting a bit too full on.
Yeah, right, okay.
That's incredible. Tom, you have to admit, You've brought up ghost tours before on this podcast. Is this kind of one of those things where you're just like, yeah, no, G.I. Joe's is so stupid, but you've got 100 of them?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been on this tour thrice.
Yeah.
That's true. I've been on a lot of ghost tours. I'm fascinated.
Secretly love it.
Yeah, I like it, but I've got to the point where it's just so hard. Even when that was happening, I was just saying, oh, it's just bullshit. Like, there's definitely someone here, like, slamming this door.
But isn't it scary thinking about that guy's perspective, the man that has to wait around for tours to come along, and he's staying in this place that is could be haunted at the very least, and that's his job to stand in pitch black and go,
yeah, well, there wasn't anyone behind the door. But, like, so I don't know what was going on there. But after the tour, I was like, all right, mate, like, do you actually believe... When everyone left, I was talking to him, and I said, like, do you actually believe any of this? And he was like, yeah, I actually do. Like, I've seen some, like, crazy things here over the years. And I'm like, well, why do you do it? Like, why would you have this job? Surely it's not worth having this job if you believe this place is just, like, haunted by, like, evil criminals. And he was like, I just want to see what happens next.
What? That's, like, a good answer.
Yeah, it didn't really satisfy
not
me.
Enough for you.
Yeah. 2 stars, Andrew.
Yeah.
You're a 2-bit host.
Why do you hate this guy so much? He sounds like a champ. He sounds like he's doing what he loves, which is being spooked.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. No, I don't know. He just said at the start that he was going to be nice and he stopped being nice. So
Robbie has told us that this segment is petering out and is boring him, so he wants us to go on to the next segment.
Well, all right, so Jordan asked, he goes before, he says, look, I've got a job at the moment, but I'm too lazy, I can't come up with ideas. So he wants you to come up with ideas for him.
Come on, guys, text in. It's a resource that I have at my disposal. I've got a day, we'll use it once. I've been very good about this for a year, but I have to film a stunt with Chaser Boy Chris Taylor in a couple of weeks, and I was emailing him back and forth about this. It's about Alzheimer's Australia, so it has to be a really light stunt, something that makes you feel warm inside afterwards. We don't want any of this medieval jeering of, I'm glad it's not me. You want feeling good. But
make this quick. Come on.
No time to set the scene. Okay, I'll get
this is like, yeah.
All right, so pretty much I've put all my ideas towards Chris Taylor. How about you dress up as a Riddler and then you walk around saying, no, I'm using my powers of questioning for good now because dementia is something even I find evil. Mm. You know? And Chris Taylor was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
He just flat out to all of my ideas was like, they're shit. I hate them.
Jordan wants you to write some comedy for him. So,
take a stand. Stunt specifically.
Mm. Okay.
So, Wee Man, if you're listening,
help me out.
Don't call in, just text in. It'd be amazing if you were. But, like, yeah, we don't want to hear your voice.
We are so nice for allowing you to do that.
Okay, here you go.
What a beautifully delicate track there. It was called I Don't Want to See What's Happening Outside. It's by Morgan Delt from his upcoming album called Phase Zero, out on Sub Pop. Okay, now it's time for a little segment we like to call Someone Needs to Say Something. This week, we're talking about Splendor in the Grass. Now, it's just concluded. Guys, did we go?
No, we didn't go. And we have good reason why we didn't go.
Of course. Now, please discuss.
No, yeah, was that reason again? Not enough sniffer dogs.
Yeah, not enough
we
dogs.
We don't feel safe.
Not enough flume, not enough dogs.
We need more dogs, more flume, please.
Yeah. More dogs, more flume, less grass. Yeah. Is that our point?
More mud.
Less 1975 dogs. As well. They were there this year. Sod off, okay? Direct all the hate from Nickelback towards the 1975. They are awful.
Are they? I don't know who they are.
We talked about them.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Yeah, and we didn't bother to research it any further, Tom and I, but
well, yes, you said they were terrible,
confirmed,
right?
Confirmed. Yeah. They're a band.
Yeah, we wouldn't look into it. They're so bad.
God awful. God awful. Okay.
But yeah, like my thing with Splendor was I didn't even know it was on. You know your audience. I'm sure everyone listening did know it was on. But do you think that... Is there an age you get to where you're just no longer a part of the festival scene? Or
obviously.
Well, what age?
This is what we're curious about, though. Because every time we've ever been to Splendor or something like that, there's always a 30-year-old there that's just young in spirit, but clearly not.
Well,
doesn't really get it anymore.
It does feel as though, you know, 25-year-olds are about the standard age at those things, I would say.
Would you don't say you think that? Even then it's kind of... it's Tuesday, man.
Yeah. Shouldn't you have something to do?
Doesn't it feel like that?
I think... I mean, look, they are... I'm sure a lot of people can agree that they are overrated, right? The you know, having to set up the tent, it being quite hot.
Incredibly hot.
And it, you just bake in that environment. And... Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Tom's little eyebrow raised there. were you... What were you referring to?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing
so
at all. Okay.
I would say, though, that it's just... yeah, they're fun, I guess. It's that.
They're fun, I guess. They're an expensive bit of fun, we suppose.
Yeah. But I remember only a couple of years ago, it was a thing where everyone would be like, oh, have you got your Splendor in the Grass tickets yet? They're going to sell out in a minute. Like, you'd be on the page refreshing.
Splendor Bender.
Yeah, or you'd know people. And now I just have nobody in my, you know, network of, you know, people that I know that have anything to do with that festival.
Yeah. You always saw that on a Facebook post a couple of years ago, but now I'm assuming that Splendor has turned into, you know, those raves that used to have in Olympic Park where it would be, it's for under 18s only, the coolest bands. Never were. I'm imagining that Splendor in the Grass is pretty much that now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so as well. Well, I don't. Well, let us know if we have completely missed it and we're just...
Yeah, if you're driving from Splendor now, back from now, first of all, defend it if you want. But second, can you tell us what the general age demo was for Splendor in Das Grass?
Yeah, so 0409-945-945, text in.
And how'd you get past the dogs? Let's talk about that.
Apparently, they were really cutting down on that this year. So. did you guys notice that?
Yeah, did you guys notice it? We didn't go, so we don't know.
That's so true. Okay, the number is 0409-945-945. Overrated or not? Splendor in the Grass. Are you guys going to Falls or...?
No way.
Okay.
I might.
You might. All right, this is the song... R.E.D. Feat Yasin Bey, Nasi and Black Bear. It's by a tribe called Red. Here we go. A Tribe Called Red there with a song called R.E.D. feat Yasin Bey, formerly known as Mos Def, Naki and Black Bear. You're with Tom Monty Duda and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5 FM with Jordan, Tom and Robbie. We've got a text here in relation to an earlier segment we were discussing spitting. The number's 0409-945-945. They said, I spit on assholes who ignore my texts, which cost a lot of money. The whole media is corporatized garbage. You're welcome. We do get a lot of texts. I can't... I can't go through and read every single one.
I don't know if he was... It seemed like he was 20% angry at us and 20% at a world he didn't create and 60% just a smattering of everything. It was a shotgun of rage, real wide brim.
It's greatly worded, though.
Fantastically worded, love it. We've got our other ones here in relation to Splendor, the Splendor Bender, Splendor in the Grass. People saying, yes, is extremely overrated. Splendor is like a 20-minute drive from where I live. My Snapchat story is filled with that garbage. So thanks so much. I think we're weirdly being validated. Agreed. With our opinion. Yeah, I wasn't expecting
that. It's because we're being counter, you know? People love to be counter.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Is that the key to getting positive texts?
Just be contrarians.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah.
Can do that. I think that's pretty much it. It's just we should change this from Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew, which was supposed to be fun and uplifting, to Tom, Robbie and Jordan hate everything.
Yeah. It's more accurate, I guess.
But now we've actually got a little thing about coffee in which I am going to be for it. And Tom, well, he's actually against it, aren't you, Tom? You are for, what is it?
Energy
Speaking
drinks.
Speaking of contrarians,
I know.
Hello.
I think we've got
all ranges of the debate.
All right. I've been arguing with people about this for years, and I'm not that confident about it anymore.
What?
But
you never were passionate either. I don't know how it drew out for years.
I know. But for some reason, it always gets raised. I feel as though people give too much weight to how great coffee is, considering... the amount of people I know, Robbie is a great example, that when they don't have coffee, they get splitting headaches. Like, I feel as though that is a good sign that maybe it's something you should limit your usage of. In the same way you would limit your usage of almost any drug, it does feel like something that it just gets a free pass.
Except for Panadols, where you'd be feeling, wow, I've got such a pain-free head.
Yeah, I should just take as many as possible. Yeah, it feels as though, like, it's something...
Perfect painless.
Yeah. Like, why does it get a free pass? Surely coffee should be seen in the same way energy drinks are seen. And then everyone always says, no, coffee's actually good for you. And I say... You don't know that. You've read that in an article somewhere, in the same way that I've read an article about everything I know. But
yeah, so but their source usually for that, that's classic sunrise 7:30 a.m. fodder.
Yeah.
Is coffee good for you?
But when I was researching this, though, a little bit, I have, like, Googled this before, and there would be, like, you know, a Harvard nutritionalist or someone like that, and they'd be like, yeah, actually, you could have up to, like, 12 coffees.
Way better than Samantha Armitage, isn't it?
Yeah, and they say, you know, coffee... actually is probably okay for you.
It extends your life, Tom.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
But
it staves off various diseases, tastes great. You can have it in a variety of forms. Energy drink, it's fizzy medicine that kills you.
Yeah, but just there's so much wrong with coffee, not only health-wise, but also, you know, the if it's not like free trade coffee, it's one of the, you know, it's the second highest exported good on the planet, and it's mainly grown
Flowers.
Oil. Something like
course.
That. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But like, so...
The coffee.
And the people that grow coffee are very poor people. Often, you know, like, you know, it's not good labor that you're using, that you're getting off here. Like, people will complain about Nike when they have child labor, or Apple, because, you know, it's made by, like, you know, very underpaid workers. Coffee's no different.
Okay. Heard enough. Let's see what the experts say, okay? I went around and asked a couple of people what their opinion was about this debate.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
Does Hillsong like coffee? Like, what's Hillsong's official... Do we? All right, so Hillsong likes coffee.
100%.
100%. As opposed to energy drinks, which are bullshit? Yes?
Come with that. Oh, coffee.
Coffee?
Yeah.
Coffee.
Coffee? Coffee or energy drinks? Coffee. Coffee? Then so you're the Deliveroos?
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Thanks so much. Have a lovely day. And Coles as a business, Coles official opinion.
That's what I'm saying. I can't answer that.
Okay.
Because Coles doesn't belong to me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. But if you had to say. Gun to your head.
I said to you personally, yeah, coffee, but Coles, I can't tell you.
All right, what about this? Coles better than Woolworths?
Yeah.
Yes. Coles is the best, isn't it? Definitely. We can agree on that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Coles is the best. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Christmas is coming, and you know what that means. But with my recipes and the season's very best from Coles, feeding your family and friends something delicious this Christmas will be a breeze. You can grab all my recipes.
All right. Cut that off.
Okay.
You hijacked that segment.
So Coles is definitely the absolute best supermarket. I just have to say, Woolworths can eat garbage. All right, they're not good. Coles is the best. It's my favorite. And they agree, not officially, but an employee there agreed, as did the Deliveroos and Hillsong. Remember, it is Xmas in July, so we've got
did you say bullshit in a Hillsong church?
I did, but they were very receptive to my suggestion that coffee was in fact the best. And I think, like, we can look at that and say Tom's actually wrong. We've got God's opinion. We've got the Deliveroos who
are
as
doing
well.
Great service,
riding around.
Yes. The modern day messengers.
And we've also got Coles.
Yeah.
Unofficially agreeing that. So it wasn't the.
I think that is just the worst way to work anything out. And you've just, like, completely stolen the segment to just say how much you love Coles.
Oh, I think it needs to be said.
Where do you rate IGA in the chain?
Oh, they're not really on my radar.
They're below you, are they?
I mean, there's one in the area, and I'll go to it if there's nothing else, but it's more kind of an oasis type situation, you know, where you have no other options, you're going to...
Yeah. Right, so it's sort of Crete in the ancient world for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Nobody bothered about it. It's just this completely off the radar. It doesn't matter what happens to it.
I received a comment on the Instagram I uploaded with a question about spitting, wondering where it was justified, and somebody said, my friend spat in somebody else's face for saying bad about Coles, and I have to agree with you, that is totally justified. Coles is absolutely the best, and we will see you after this song. Okay, just, sorry, one sec. Well, so is that over? Coffee's the best? Tom?
Yeah, all right.
I'm doing right now. Captain's salute.
Yeah.
Right. I'm giving Tom the captain's salute. Jordan's face. The song there is Dust by Parquet Courts from their most recent release called Human Performance. You're on FBI Radio 94.5 FM with your boys. Now, we're talking political correctness. Has it gone mental? All right. There was a story recently banning clapping at a primary school in Sydney because children are averse to loud noises. They are, in fact, allowed to silently cheer, pull excited faces, or wriggle on the spot. When I mentioned this to my gran before she went back to Auckland, she said...
That was the most pathetic thing I've ever heard.
Quote. And was glad she was leaving.
Yes.
It is pretty weird. Like, it's what... maybe it's fair enough. Maybe they have good reason to say it is bad for
potentially
you.
They do.
But to replace it with wiggling like a caterpillar on the ground.
Yeah, what was the words? It was smiling, looking pleased and wriggling.
Silently cheer, pull excited faces, or wriggle on the spot.
How long has this debate been raging? How long have people been saying on air, has political correctness gone too far?
Mm. This one seems
to be... Have we had a 10-year mark or...
I mean, it has its place, but this one seems proper mental.
Yeah.
Okay, so now what we're going to check is, does it work? All right, so Jordan's going to tell us a couple of jokes, maybe the same joke twice. All
yeah, right. So Jordan's got a stand-up show coming up. It's...
That's sold out. took minutes, really.
So you're getting a little teaser here. So let's see... You know, this is not an actual joke. This is kind of the general gist.
So it's sold out, so congratulations. Yeah,
thank you very much. Yeah, and here's why. Okay.
All right. So we'll do this one, then we'll clap, and then we'll try the silent wiggle. All right.
All right.
Okay, so here's a little excerpt from the show, because it's also going to Wollongong, Adelaide, you know, all the big places, Newcastle. It's Taree. All right, so here it is.
So good one, a good joke. Yep.
You know Gina Reinhart, right?
Yeah.
This is where the audience is supposed to go, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she's really, like, greedy, I reckon. And maybe she probably has too much money. She's kind of like the Tiddlywinks of Australia. She just sucks up all the water to herself. So...
And the punchline.
What the hell's with that? Okay. No, you're not allowed to clap.
No. So we're doing the clap, and now you do the same joke again, and now we're going to try the more PC version.
Yeah. So just exactly again.
Beforehand. Okay. All right. I probably should have come up with two separate jokes, but let's just repeat exactly what I said before.
Just do it.
You know, Gina Reinhart. I reckon she's really greedy and probably the Tiddlywinks of Australia because she just sucks up all the resources for herself, don't you think? And all the water for her mind. Yeah, we have a new champion, the Wiggle Works. The Wiggle's way better, and I would much prefer to see that at this stage.
Political correctness has not gone mental. It is, in fact, the new way to go. All right, so what we want to see in the new Olympics is this going absolutely mainstream wild.
Yep. Yeah, not a sound in the swimming auditorium.
Please.
Yeah, so it would have to just be from now on. The crowd is... not going wild. The crowd is on fire in reference to fire caterpillars that coagulate together in the tens of thousands and wriggle.
Yeah. Okay, now we've got a little show called The Playlist. Stephen Goodhue is away this week. Where is he, Dan? Come over here, Dan. We've got Dan Gordon.
G'day. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Excited for your show coming up?
I am. It's going to be very cool. Going to play a bunch of new tracks. Steve is on his way back from Splendor in the Grass.
He did go. Okay.
He did go.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm here to fill in his very, very, very massive shoes.
Have we ever done this before?
Done what?
We never do cross promotions.
What are you talking about?
Like we've never had somebody come in beforehand and be like, so you got a good show coming up today, mate? Like, yeah. We've always had them, and we've always dragged our feet into here going, what's the point of all this? I mean, they know we're coming up.
No.
We've
done it a couple of times.
You made me talk about Harry Potter.
Yeah, because we were promoting Pottermore.com, which is, again, like a fantastic website with a lot of features.
Yeah, how's the heat on Pottermore.com these days? Does anyone look at this anymore?
All right, it's broken. So you do the hat test to see what sorting the house to get sorted into, it will always just put you into Hufflepuff, no matter
what.
Great.
That's got to be the work of a hacker, doesn't it? Yeah, and a very nice hacker as well.
Yeah, I know.
It's very unfortunate timing because they have actually renewed a campaign to get Pottermore back on the map. They've had various actors from the films going on and doing little videos about how they do the quiz, and it's put me in Slytherin there. I can't believe it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That should just all be an Hufflepuff.
They got Ginny Weasley, Neville Longbottom.
Yeah, I was thinking that would be that tier of star.
Yeah,
surely Ron. Longbottom who's so up for Pottermore.com.
I'm always just a fan of the books.
I'm sure they fixed it.
Was it a paycheck to me?
I'm sure they fixed it. So do go on it, Pottermore.com. But now, it's goodbye from Tom Montefiore.
Bye.
Jordan Shanks.
See you next week.
I've been Robbie Armfield, and this is a little segment that I like to call Kiwiana Corner. It's where I play a little bit of beautiful Kiwi music. This one is by Dave Dobbin. It's called Magic What She Do. It's from a little bit back in the day. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.